if you would, this morning. A little over a month ago, I had just landed into Chicago. I was headed to Hong Kong on that very short little trip. And as I came off the flight then and picked up my phone, turned it back on off airplane mode, I looked and there was a text message from my daughter, Whitney. And anytime I get a text message from Whitney, it makes me a little excited because there was an attachment, and here was that attachment. Is she not the perfect child? I tell you what. Now, I know some of you are going, what's going on here? Because last Sunday I showed a video of Bentley, but it had been like at least months since I had done that. Okay, I'd probably been at least a year since I, and there won't be any more at least for like 7 days, all right? I promise you that. There are no more videos of Bentley. But I wanted to show that this morning because it illustrates something that we want to talk about today, and that is encouragement. And we often forget that little word, encouragement. To encourage means to what? To infuse courage into somebody. So when we encourage, discouragement, meanwhile, the word dis means away. So that prefix, away. To discourage, it's to, in essence, either discourage someone. You're taking courage out from them, away from them. Or when we get discouraged, we fall away from being full of courage, and so we want to encourage one another. Any grandparent knows, you receive that, you're ready for Hong Kong and Myanmar, and you're ready to go, and I looked at that several times, and it's still just, it's like an oasis in the desert. It's like a grande caramel macchiato with 6 shots of coffee, huh, Pastor Don? You'd like that, right? It's kind of like Popeye, right? Whenever you watch something like that, like Popeye just popping out that spinach, and he's just strong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Doesn't it feel good to be strengthened and encouraged, huh? How many of you don't even know who Popeye is? Let me see your hands. Some of you. Yeah, yeah. We come to our third point, though, from the writer of Hebrews, chapter 10, and he gives us that phrase, but let's go ahead and read the two verses, and we've been here for 3 weeks now. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All right, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, capital D, the coming of the Lord, God wrapping this whole thing up one day. Even more as you see that approaching, we need to be doing these things, encouraging one another. We've taken 2 weeks, week number one, to consider not forsaking or not giving up meeting together as some were in the habit of doing. And we understood in the context of that day, the persecution that was heavy upon the church. And so many of them were beginning to pull back a little bit from meeting together. And the writer is urging and encouraging them to keep meeting together. Last week, we looked at drawing near to God. Back it up to verse 19. That Jesus, what we just celebrated, he's opened the way so that we can draw near to God. And encouraging one another to draw near to God. And then, this little phrase today, to encourage one another. Discouragement is something that you just can't avoid. I don't care who you are today. All of us know what it is to have a period, a season, an event, a moment. Sometimes it can be a whole week or month of where you're just simply discouraged. There's an answer for your discouragement today. And that answer is seated all around you this morning. The potential of any of us here when we go through discouragement is that we could have that pickup that we need, that encouragement that we need, if we just all would obey the Word of God. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. In one little proverb, you have both. You have the discouragement of the heart sick, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but then you have the encouragement of the tree of life. All the result of what? Of hope. What hope does to us. See, we're not machines here today. A virus can attack a computer, but that computer really doesn't get discouraged, does it? The computer owner gets discouraged. How many of you ever had a good virus? But if you get a virus many times, what happens? You grow discouraged. And why? Because we're so much more than just a mechanical something that God created and put on this ground and we walk and do our thing like some robotic. No, no. We are body, soul, and spirit as we looked at just a few weeks ago. Matter of fact, one of the Psalms we looked at talked about that human spirit, that place within us that we know all throughout the Proverbs can be anxious, can be broken. I before service, this service, I met up with a lady who just has received some news, and she's so discouraged right now. And I said, would you wait and just let me in? And so no one was around, and we just walked around the side here. I anointed her with oil and prayed over her and tried to encourage her and just to infuse all that I could into her. Because I don't want her to be discouraged, but she's so discouraged right now. Her spirit is heavy. But you know what Proverbs says? And we looked at this proverb that morning weeks ago. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness. In other words, many times when physically we feel ill and we are legitimately sick, on the inside, our spirit, many times, Proverbs says, is what will sustain and will carry us. I've watched people battle amazing illness physically and keep such a positive spirit, positive heart, and that's what Proverbs is talking about. But look at the rest of that verse. A man's spirit sustains him in weakness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Proverbs 18:14. So you have the discouragement and the encouragement. The encouragement that your spirit carries you, but the discouragement, who can bear a crushed spirit? The Bible calls us to play a role when one another has a crushed spirit. It's not a suggestion, not a novel idea. It's an imperative, and it's over and over again. Matter of fact, I was curious as I looked in the book of Acts this week, and I've been reading through Acts quite a bit recently, and I just thought about the word, and I was curious, and I found in one translation 10 times the church encouraging one another. Another translation, 13 times. And you say, well, why would that be the case? Well, you know the book of Acts. It was that burgeoning, that early church as it was just beginning to grow and spread. And what were they going through? But persecution. And in that persecution, what did they need? But encouragement. And so we find them constantly here and there. You'll note here, there it is again. They were encouraging one another, the body of Christ, because they were suffering, much like Hebrews chapter 10 here. I'm excited. 4 weeks, I think it's 4 weeks from today, we will be celebrating 20 years of Convoy of Hope. Can you say praise God for that? Isn't that great? We're going to have a great morning that morning. And Hal and Dave Donaldson are going to be here, and many of you that work with Convoy are part of it. We know the incredible work that they're doing throughout the earth today. And talking to Hal recently, it was just to hear some of the growing pains that they have gone through and are still going through as God is just continuing to explode this ministry all around the world today. We will celebrate that. But how many of you know, if you have seen that happen over a 20-year period, there have been plenty of times of discouragement. Matter of fact, we reviewed a few of those recently. But in those times, don't you know that God had someone there to infuse courage into Hal and Dave and the team? I know that God did if that person was doing what God had called them to do. See, we have to be willing to be encouragers, which we ourselves have to have courage, because it's hard to give someone that you don't have. So if we have courage in the Lord, if we have faith in the Lord, if we are walking with the Lord, and then we take that and we see someone discouraged, we can infuse into them. And you know how God propels along a convoy of hope? I'm telling you, it's not just finances, it's not just prayer, but many times it's encouragement of others. And that's what makes it happen. That's what it was for the early church. That's why Paul mentions encouragement to the Corinthians and the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians. And the Thessalonians, and in his pastoral letter to Timothy. Why? Because encouragement is so important. I found it interesting reading through Moses and Joshua's, the succession then that took place, and Joshua leading them on in the promised land. Reading through that just recently came to Deuteronomy 1 and 3. Took note of it there, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now, why would this be so important? Because Moses was handing the reins over, and Joshua was about to be the one to really have to fight the fight. Moses had to fight the Israelites. How many know that was a battle enough right there? But Joshua had to lead a million-plus people into the promised land, the conquest, the army of Israel, the promises that God had given them. And so he has this major task at hand. And Deuteronomy chapter 1, God tells Moses, commands him, encourage Joshua. Chapter 3, encourage and strengthen Joshua. Now think with me. We understand what it is to encourage one another. But how can a man strengthen another man? I mean, think about it. Was he telling him, Joshua, you know, I want you to take Joshua out and put him in a weight training program so they can be ready to conquer, you know? Is that it? No, strengthen him where? Within. Strengthen his spirit, his resolve, his will. Give him courage. Encourage and strengthen him. This is one of my favorite verses on the life of David. And as I look at this verse, I hope I've lived this verse for some people. Matter of fact, I wish when I read this verse, I wish all of us here would capture this in our heart, circle it in our Bibles. I wish we would live this as a church. We would be the most encouraging church. But it's where David, it says that David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And many of you know the story. David had been anointed the king as a young lad, and yet now he had grown up into adulthood, and he's still not appointed and still not anointed as ultimately king upon the throne. And King Saul is just losing it, and he's got his army, and they're after David, and he wants to kill David. And it says David is there then in the wilderness, and what happens? David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Isn't that good? He strengthened his hand in God. How can one man do that for another man? I mean, aren't you on your own in a sense? I mean, you've got your spiritual walk. I've got my spiritual walk. We've committed our hearts to Christ. We need to be in the Word. We need to pray. We have our spiritual disciplines. We kind of know what is required of us. And so we know what we need to do. How can we strengthen someone else's hand in God? It's encouraging. It's encouragement. It's that we can literally infuse spiritual strength into one another. What a gift. What a gift Jonathan was to David. And many of you know the story. That's what God wants us all to be. It's not just a slap on the back and, you know, an encouraging word, although that's part of it. It's not just a gift or an expression of appreciation, although those can be wonderful. But as followers of Jesus, it's what we read here in Hebrews chapter 10. It's what Jonathan did for David. It's helping one another find strength in the Lord. This last Sunday, Carla was in the lobby talking to some people. I came in. The sanctuary was quiet, as it often is, as we're leaving on a Sunday morning. And I came back in, and I gathered my things together, and I was walking, and then I heard something, and I turned. And over on this side, there were two ladies there praying together. And I mean, one lady, she was fervently praying for the other one. And my first nature was, well, there's a need. I started to head that way, and then I realized it's taken care of. That woman was praying. I'm telling you, strength was being infused. She was encouraging that other woman in the Lord. And that is exactly what we're called to do and be. Amen? Let us consider how to stir up one another toward love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That word encouragement there, parakaleo in the Greek, it literally means to call to one side, to call to one side. And it begins to give us a little dabble into what this word can mean and how we can live encouraging ways toward one another. But let's capture this. He is saying with this verb that we are to call to one another to come alongside of each other, if you will. That we need to strengthen others with our own presence. That's what encouragement does. The very heart of it means just be there for somebody. Sometimes you don't have the words. You don't have to have the words. It's just that you're there. You're just alongside of them. I remember a night, well, I'll never forget this night, as right the week I graduated high school. And I had not been a very good boy in wearing my glasses, because glasses weren't cool. How many know what I'm talking about? Now they can be cool. Wasn't cool then. So my mom and dad weren't very happy with me, and I just tended to not wear them a lot. And so I finally said, well, can I just get contacts? And there was something called soft contacts. And then there were like these things 3 inches thick that you stick in your eye called a hard contact. How many know what I'm talking about? Remember? And so mom and dad, well, I hadn't been very good about the glasses, so they said, well, we'll get you some hard contacts. And I really wanted the soft, and they gave me the hard one. So I put those on, and it was about my fourth or fifth day of wearing them. And a friend two doors down, who was a math teacher, and I loved math growing up. And so I went down and I helped him grade papers. He was a high school teacher and he had his finals to grade. And then when we were done, we were going to play a game of Risk. Well, I already had the contacts in at about their limit when I went down the street and I forgot. So I went down there, we graded papers, we played Risk. How many of you know Risk takes like 15 minutes? You know what I'm talking about, all right? You know, I mean, it takes hours. So I go home about 1:30 in the morning. It's a week of graduation. I have no finals to take. I go home. I've helped out Bob and Diane, and they're just dear friends. They live here in Springfield, actually, attend Evangel Temple now. But in those days in Illinois, they were those great neighbors of mine and invested a lot into my life. So I went home, and I went to take out that hard contact. Well, it wasn't going to leave the eye. And I'd probably over, it's supposed to be about five and a half hours, and I'd gone like 12, 13 hours. It was just glued to my eye, both eyes. So I'm doing everything I could do. I called Diane because she wore contacts, said, what can I do? And she advised me, and I just worked and worked. Finally, I got both of those crazy hard contacts off my eyes. Went to bed, woke up within probably a half hour to maybe an hour maximum. And I mean, I was in excruciating pain. I was crying out. And how many of you know when you cry out in the middle of the night, your mother is the one that gets out of bed? How many know what I'm talking about? There's Dad. He didn't even know this story. I probably need to call and let Dad know what happened that night in my life. You know? But here comes Mom running. Literally, I had to. I could not open my eyes. And with my eyelids closed, I couldn't let my eyeballs move inside of my closed eye. It was so excruciating. We called the ophthalmologist in the middle of the night, like at 2 o'clock in the night, or maybe 2:30 in the morning. And he said, you've just taken a layer or two off your eye. But that your eye is the fastest healing organ of the body, and it'll be about a 48-hour period. He gave all the directive and all that. So literally, think about it. I could not close my eyes. Can you try to sleep without moving your eyeball? It's impossible. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't bear anything at all. Who is the one that was the one that called beside me and sat there all night long? You better believe it. My mom. Aren't moms wonderful? Huh? And Mom sat there beside me. So it means she stayed awake because I couldn't sleep the entire night. And I remember how miserable a night it was and how painful a night. And I did all I could do. But all I had to do was endure. But you know what? I had someone that I called along my side. What a picture of what it is to encourage someone according to Bible kind of encouragement. See, there are times that no words can be spoken. They just won't cut it. The reality is what it is. And even in those times, and I've been there myself for others, and I've received it from others, just your presence alone, that's what this word means, to call someone to your side. We can do that for one another. The ministry of presence, as we often call it, carries with an idea of helping, of aid. Matter of fact, this Greek word does, to call someone to your aid. And you know, it's kind of odd, but help tends to kind of get a bad rap, I think, now and then. When we think about what it's like for someone like the centennial that we just had, that was such a wonderful week, and thousands of people, and you have these amazing speakers, and to leave where you are just encouraged, and you leave a setting like that, or someone that sings before thousands of people, and everybody leaves just so on a high and just encouraged by their music, or someone that gives a thousand or hundreds of thousands or $1 million towards some ministry or some kind of an event or whatever it is. We look at things like that, and then we talk about helping people. And it just seems so small, doesn't it? But you remember that Jesus so often dealt with little things like this? I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, if you belong to me, he said, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Just a cup of coffee. So Jesus is in a house and it's packed full of people. No one can get in, but there's four guys that have a friend and they're determined to help their friend. And so they climb up on the roof, and they pull open that roof. How many know the owner of the house probably wasn't a very happy man right then? But they lower him down because that man needs Jesus, the picture of help. See, that's what it is. We need to never underestimate the power of help. As a matter of fact, if you read through Paul's list in 1 Corinthians 12, it's kind of fascinating. But he says that we are the body of Christ and each one of us is a part of it. And the church, in the church, God has appointed, and then he places an order here. First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others. And then the list goes on from there. Here's how the King James lists it. Gifts of healings, helps, administrators, and speakers of tongues. The RSV puts it, then, keeping that order going, here's the order, apostles and prophets and teachers, then he says, healers, helpers, administrators, and speakers in various kinds of tongues. Now that word helpers there, in the Greek, let me get really deep with you here, it means in the Greek, to help someone. All right? Be a helper. Now notice, though, it comes right after healing, the gift of healing, and the gift of administration, and the gift of speaking in tongues comes later. It says the gift of being a help, a helper. And yes, this is a spiritual gift. So we don't want to, in any way, I don't want to, you know, diminish this at all, but to realize this is literally a spiritual gift for some in the body of Christ. And you know who they are. They're those people, it's amazing, they just serve, they love to help. That's a spiritual gift. But let's just for a moment talk about a human gift, and that is when by your own will and choice you decide to be a help to somebody. How many know we can all do that? See, we all, oh, well, I don't have that spiritual gift, don't lay that on me. All right. We can encourage one another by helping one another. Amen? That's what we're called to do. It's what this word has to do with. Last week, one of our dear ladies, she's single and just really needed help. And it was a crazy week, of course. We had our community engagement taking place with all the fresh vegetables and fruit that we had all brought in. And that was a wonderful, and thank you all that are part of that ministry every month. And it was a Vandal's homecoming and inauguration. And so much was breaking loose. And in our lives, my brother arrived Thursday night, and then our best friends were arriving Friday night for the weekend. So it was just a busy time. And here is someone that I care deeply about, and she needed help. And so I kind of sent the word out. I don't usually do that on a Sunday morning. And one man responded. God bless that one man. And moving is from the devil. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, moving is the worst. It's hard. So I understand that. It was a crazy busy weekend. So I sent a text out to multiple ones, just trying anybody I could get to try to help this lady. One guy sends back a text message that basically said the following. Basically said, I have at least 6, probably 7 lined up. We'll meet at the church Friday night, 5:30, all taken care of. How many know I wanted to kiss that man right then? That felt so good. 6, 7 guys will be there. Don't worry about it, Pastor Jeff. It's all taken care of. Huh? Saturday morning, she needed a little bit more work. A couple more guys, or those guys, went back again, helped her a little bit more Saturday morning. Saturday night, I get a text from her with a picture of this part of her kitchen, and she said, my friend said she wouldn't leave until at least part of the house was completed. And then she added, and I can't thank enough those 6 or 7 guys that came and gals that came and helped me out. She was thrilled. Now, follow me. That's just a small example, and you don't even know the whole picture. If you could put yourself in her shoes, do you know what that meant when those 6 or 7 guys and gals arrived ready to help her move? I'm telling you, like an oasis in the desert. That's like that caramel macchiato with 9 shots of coffee in it that you addicts need now and then. It feels so good, doesn't it? Just to help. Just to help. And it's endless, isn't it? All the opportunities we have. And the sense here, again, of calling for help. We're to call for help from one another here. So part of encouraging is knowing that you can receive help, but also knowing that you can give help. It works both ways. And I realize some of you are real adept to receiving help. You love that part of the help ministry, and you ask for it a lot. And yet when it comes time to help others, you're seldom there. And then we have others that just help, and they help, and they help. And you know what? Oh, I pray that when they're in need, someone will be there for them. Because that's what the writer is describing here. Another sense of the word is to exhort. This Greek word, parakaleo. It means to exhort. It carries with it the idea of urging one another, imploring one another. It's where Paul used it, Romans chapter 12. I urge you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. That word urge, to exhort, I challenge you. That's a part of our role in encouraging one another, is exhorting one another. And again, the ways are endless. But if we want to live what the writer's called us to here, it's that we need to appeal to others in matters of the heart. That's really the entire book of Hebrews. If you've read through the entire book recently, or no, go and do it, you'll note it this week. That really the writer, it's one big urge. It's one big exhortation. He's writing to people that have a past, a rich Jewish heritage, and he's saying to them that none of that compares to Jesus, and yet many of them were starting to pull away and drift away. And so much of Hebrews is a call, and we looked at it last week, but that call to hang on to Jesus, persevere with Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, it is an exhortation letter, but really so much of the Bible is. Why? Because we grow discouraged. We hold this treasure in jars of clay. And so we grow weak and we need strengthened. And when we encourage one another, we urge and strengthen one another. How do we do this? Well, it might be someone that's fallen away from God. And just like the writer here, you urge them, come back. And you urge them to hang on to their faith. It might be someone that's just gone through a very difficult season of their life, and they're weary and they're tired and they're worn out, and you come along and you just infuse courage into them that they're going to hang in there. You urge them, you exhort them to hang on, carry on. It might be someone not making wise choices. I think about a young lady that was in our church back in Mesa years ago, and she's making very poor choices right now. A gal her mother's age was willing to go and take her to lunch and sit her down and just try to implore her, to urge and exhort her to make wiser decisions in her life spiritually, whatever it might be. It just might be somebody that just is down. Guess what this Greek word means? One of the meanings of it, to cheer up somebody. So encouragement sometimes is just to cheer up somebody, but it's all part of exhortation. The last meaning, another sense of the word here, is the word comfort, as in someone with sorrow and loss, that we encourage them. How incredibly significant this is. One of the problems is that with loss, quite honestly, most of the time, as I said a moment ago, words really can't do it right then. But presence can. Just being there can. Sensitivity is vital. And many times that's our problem. We don't know what to say, so we don't say anything. Many times it's so vital, and yet because we don't know what to say, we even stay away from them. And I'm telling you, your presence to encourage, to come alongside of someone that's gone through loss can be such a blessing. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You've gone through it. And in that moment, it may all be a blur, but you know what? Later they come back to it and they remember those that were there for them. And that alone encourages them, just their presence. I am so glad that we have Grief Share as one of our small groups here, and Divorce Care. Just stood with a person this morning going through divorce, 38 years of a marriage and now going through divorce. And tears coming down her cheeks. And telling her about Divorce Care and encouraging her to be there tonight. I don't know, but I wish that she would come because I know the ministry that it is to encourage one another. Why? Because it's loss. We don't just lose in life and death, although that's the major way. We lose all throughout our lives constantly. We lose jobs, disappointments, hopes that we've had that are dashed, relationship issues, financial losses, physical challenges. We all lose over and over again, but we serve a God who wins. And we serve a God who's faithful. And we need to encourage one another. So a fourth sense of encouragement is that we need to comfort others in their sense of loss. See, with all of these, there's a very important key. And I alluded to it earlier, but this is a one another verse. So hear me today. Until you have come to a place in your life where you are all alone, until you've been there, you don't realize what it does for that person today that you go to, you choose to, you will to, you go to encourage them today and they're all alone. If you've never been there, you don't know what it means, but I'm telling you, it will mean everything to them. If you've never been there where you've lost, and you've lost deeply in your life, then you won't know what it is when you go to someone who has lost and you're just there for them and you hug them or you care for them and you just let them know you'll do anything for them in that hour. You have no idea. If you've never lost, you have no idea, but you can do that today. If you've never been at your wit's end, you've never been at a point where you feel like you're dangling, that rope is there, and you're on the very threads of that rope, then you don't know what it'll mean when you decide to help someone that is in that condition today. You do it for them now. Here's my point. The call is encourage one another. And we can do it in these ways, through presence, through help, through exhortation, and through comfort. That's what the word means. We can do it in these ways, but see, this is reciprocal. This is something that as we are faithful to encourage one another, I'm telling you, the day will come, you'll need the encouragement, you'll need the help, you'll need the presence, you'll need that exhortation, you'll need the comfort. And I believe this with all my heart. If you will serve others, God will make sure that you are served in your hour of need. If you'll just be faithful, God will be faithful to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. No one looking about, just for a moment, if you would. As we come to this moment, close our service today, I want to ask you if you know anybody in your life right now that needs help. Anyone, whatever kind of help, just anything. You know someone that needs help. And then to ask you then, who's going to help them? Is there anyone you know in your life right now that needs comfort? Of course, we as a church family, we know that today. Then there's ways that we can seek to comfort. Do you know anybody right now that spiritually just... They're really drifting, or they're drying up, or you know they need an exhortation, an urging, an appeal on behalf of the Lord. Do you know them today? Who's going to make that appeal for them? Do you know anybody today that is just simply in need of someone to be there, someone to be present in their life? And then I would ask you, who's going to be present for them? See, it's easy for us to always look to the left or to the right when Hebrews 10, 25 is to us, every one of us here. And every one of us here can help. And every one of us here can be comfort. And every one of us here can be alongside of someone. And every one of us here can exhort and urge someone. We just have to choose to do it. But as I said a moment ago, if we'll be faithful, I'm telling you, God will be faithful to you. And He'll be there for you in your hour when you need it. When you need that. Oh, let's open our eyes. Let's see the needs around us. Central Assembly, let's be like Jonathan, what he received from David, that he was strengthened in the Lord. We can do that for each other. We can do it. We can be the most encouraging church anyone's ever walked into if we all choose to obey what we're exhorted to obey here in Hebrews chapter 10. Lord, thank you for your word today. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that we really have a sense of power in this room. May we leave with a sense of empowerment that, God, we can make a difference for people, for one another, Lord. Just what you said here. Simple little word, but oh, how rich it is and how much meaning it has, Lord, that we can make a difference in the lives of others. Lord, help us to do so today, I pray. God, help us right now to will and choose that we can be an encouragement. May no one here think, God, that little old me, I can't do anything. Lord, I know better than that. You've created us to do good works that you prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10 says. So Lord, help us to be ready and to be an encouragement to others. And Lord, may we not be a discouragement. May we not take away courage out of people. May we be careful with our words, Lord, our attitudes, our actions. Lord, let us lift one another up in the times of need. I love my church because it's a place where I can receive and give encouragement to others, Lord. Help us to live this, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment, I just want to add this, and then we'll close with a final prayer. But I want you to know that the greatest encourager of all is God. And you may think in your life, no, because you don't know what God's done to me. Well, let me tell you today, God is love. He's all love. He's an encouraging God. The reason this whole message is constructed as it is in Hebrews 10 is because God wants you encouraged, and He encourages you through people, but God's the greatest encourager of all. And you may be so discouraged today, and you look at life, and you want to blame God, and you always turn to Him. But I'm telling you, what we need to realize is in this fallen world that we live in, the answer we came to was when we shared that moment with the bread and the cup this morning. We realized, and it was quoted by Spud Dement over that element of the bread, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Can you imagine offering your child offering your grandchild, offering your closest friend, your spouse, offering the one you love the most, and giving their life for others. It's incredible. But that's what the Bible says God did for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you may be here this morning and your life, you are just really, really struggling. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward right now and just to stand across the front. And as we close in prayer, I'm going to give you the opportunity, and there are others that will come, whatever your need may be today. But if you're here this morning and you say, I want God's love in my life, then this would be the greatest step you've ever taken in your life. And they would love to pray with you for you to invite Christ into your heart. Or maybe you just need to talk to somebody about God. That's what they'll be here to do, to talk and to pray with you right now. Come if you would, prayer team, stand across the front. And I'd invite you to come. Maybe today you're just so discouraged. Then you can turn and walk out the doors, but I'm going to pray encouragement over you now. But it may be that you just need a brother or a sister, and I'd encourage you to slip forward as we close and to come and let someone pray for you today. And we want to infuse courage into you this morning. I always go to the door to greet. I love doing that. But this morning, Carl and I are going to stay up the front because I want to be here along with these that we can pray for you and just encourage you in the Lord today. Whatever your need may be today, whatever your need may be, don't leave here without Christ. And don't leave here without God. Don't leave here without His presence in your life and a hope and a confidence you can have in Him, because He wants you to be encouraged, infused with courage today. He wants to do that for you. Can we stand together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray for everyone here today, and I pray encouragement now upon them. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would encourage them physically, Lord, and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in every dimension of their life, God, whatever it is, because this life can take such a toll on us, and we could be so discouraged right now. Lord, let us go to you, and let us turn to one another. And oh, God, may we leave here as agents of encouragement for you, people ready with a word, or maybe just ready in our presence, God, just to be alongside of someone, ready to help when there's a need, oh God, to give of ourselves that we might be an encouragement to others, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's encouragement always in you, God. And Lord, as we pray for people around these front, these altars, Lord, this area, I pray, God, that you would bring that encouragement in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. So glad you were here this morning. You can leave at this time. We welcome you back tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll be speaking out of Psalm 64. If you need prayer, just step forward now. We'd love to pray with you this morning. God bless you. Have a great day.